What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
About movies and entertainment, and we've been doing that off the air. I'm jealous of you because you're such a comic book nerd.
Yeah.
And I've been getting...
I think that's the first time that sentence Roy's ever said that.
Yeah, let me tell you what I admire about you. But on vacation, I was getting a ton of Fantastic Four.
Okay.
And then I started getting stuff about Galactus.
Okay.
Then I started getting stuff about the Eternals.
Okay.
And I'm just getting deeper and deeper into like, oh, they have little seeds of the Eternals.
Yeah.
And
it's fun. So, yeah. I mean, because it's not real. It's not serious. You can... There's a whole bunch of lore out there, and they never stop. So, I mean, the story never stops. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are you super happy that they've taken the comic books and turned them into movies? Do they ever really capture it, or the comic book's still the source material?
The comic book should be the source material. It's when I think they've gotten away from it, which has kind of been the complaint for Marvel lately in the past 5 years, is that you have all that source material, and Kevin Feige isn't interested in using it. He's like, he just wants a fun story to be told, and everybody's like, but here, you know, hear me out. People who your core audience is the people who have read these, and they're going to they want to see their characters come to life. So, yeah, I don't know. But then I think overall in the beginning, they did a really good job as far as like, I'm not expecting a page for page, panel for panel translation of what I've read, but just it's fun to see Easter eggs and names mentioned and like how this, you know, how something leads into something else.
It does. I do think taking people that aren't going to follow those things and giving them the freedom to do things that are different is risky. Because you're seeing that with Star Wars, too.
Yeah.
Like, they're going directions where the people that are hardcore are like, no, that's not how this goes. Or that's not what we've all met. People have relationships with these things for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. Well, that's at least your core, right?
That's, I mean, at least, yes.
You want to draw the people outside of that, too.
Absolutely.
But they're not going to be concerned about those things.
No.
They're not going to be concerned about canon or whether it's a new idea or not. You just need to make it good, and you'll get the fringe people. Because in comic book world, I'm a fringe person. I've never read them, but I love the stories, and I like the characters because I've seen those characters on TV or whatever.
Sure.
But I am more tied into the Star Wars. And I've read a lot of the books back in the day that go beyond Empire Strikes Back and all that. And when you have all that great material, like Janelle mentions, it's weird to pass on that to do something that you think is better. But clearly, in the end, most people don't seem to agree with you. Yeah.
There's a reason that the comic books have been around for 60, 70 years. Mm-hmm. You know, like, use the material. It's there.
Yeah.
I mean, again, it is, you know, iterations of Superman might be out there, but ultimately he's still the same character pretty much. And if people keep going back to it, there is a reason. So kind
here's
of
a truism, kids. Everyone thinks they know better.
Sure.
And we see it a lot in our business when, say, for example, if I've been doing live endorsements for a company for 15 years and they have a change in ownership or even bringing in a new buyer, sometimes they'll cancel us because they know how to do it. They're going to start over and do their whole new thing. And that's what it reminds me of with these writers where it's like, you know, you have some really great material right here.
Well, the complaint out there is that Beau DeMeo, who worked on X-Men 97, this is getting really off, but he kind of had a Twitter thread about his relationship and his falling out and why he's kind of been critical of Marvel. And it's because he says it's basically you get Kevin Feige in boardrooms making decisions about storylines and plot lines instead of trusting your writers and people who know the comic books and know the source material, instead of them being able to bring you a product and say, this is what it is. And then you have a little feedback, but them making the decision, I think, and I kind of liken it to baseball now. And I understand that, you know, front offices make lineups and they run the thing, but sometimes there's, you need to kind of trust the people that are down on the field working with the, you know, like it to me, it's this, it's a lot of, you see a lot of higher ups and these, you know, boards making decisions for the people. And I mean, that's in everything on the ground floor. And it's like, well, how about you talk to the people on the ground floor and find out what it's actually working?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's, so I'm trying to think of it, like the way that it strikes me is these people who are in charge, whether it's Kevin Feige or it's the Star Wars universe, they say they treat it like, well, we want to tell our own stories. Well, then write your own stories.
Right.
Write your own original material that will tell the story you want to tell, because these stories already exist. Mm-hmm. And there's no need to just basically steal the characters and do something else, because that's the shortcut.
Yeah.
The hard part is creating the universe. George R.R. Martin created a universe.
Yeah.
And if you want to tell those stories, great. You don't need to take that and turn it into some other story. Just write another story.
Which is why those last two seasons fell off for Game of Thrones.
Right.
They had run out of source material.
Yeah. And in that case, they had no choice
and we're ruining it.
To wait. And we still don't have those books.
We're never going to get those books.
You know, one thing that drives me crazy, though, about comic books and the comic book world, and I got really into it over vacation on these TikToks where it's like, these guys can eat planets and galaxies, and they poop out quarks and gluons, and they can start everything over again. But that guy also can kick a football. It's like, how do you beat an eternal being? You know what I mean?
No, I get you. They tie themselves in knots.
Yes.
Which is why a lot of times in the comic books that you, like, they hit, there was a really famous one with X-Men. This is really dorky, but they had House of M because the mutant X-Men had gotten so big, and there were just mutants, you know, like, I can move that, my powers, I can move the carpet here an inch. You know, and they had so many of them that they decided, they had a writer come in and just kind of wipe all that out with House of M, where, yeah, I mean, everybody's right, but, like, they wiped out all but, like, 99 of the mutants. And, like, it's them having to start over again. They've done that a lot. They just wipe out a galaxy or an Earth or a universe and start over again.
It's fun. Yeah. It's interesting.
Yeah.
What did you see this week?
Well, I did actually see Weapons last week.
Oh?
I did. I've also seen Nobody 2 and Highest to Lowest, the Spike Lee Denzel Washington movie.
Okay. Let's just take them in order. Weapons.
Okay. I really liked Weapons. I think it's been a great year for horror. It's definitely written by the guy and directed by the guy who did Barbarian. And I can understand why Jordan Peele fired his staff after losing the auction for that. I think he was outbid by like $7 million he wanted to have.
Oh, for this story.
Yes. The guy, yeah. And yeah, the Zach Cregger, who is part of Whitest Kids You Know. I don't remember if you remember
that.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. Something about comedy guys writing horror. They just know how to do it.
What about it has the scent of Barbarian on it?
It's wet. I mean, it's just weird. I mean, I can't explain. It's without giving anything away. There is going to be a character that a lot of people are going to compare to the character that Nicolas Cage played in Longlegs.
Okay.
It's like, as long as physically, I mean, it's Amy Madigan, and she just looks wacky. I don't know if you've seen her out there, but yeah, it's definitely interesting. It's told through the point of view of several characters in the story, and then kind of wraps up towards the end, kind of funnels you towards the same direction. But yeah, I thought it was good. There's only probably about two jump scares, so not, but just.
Is it stick with you at night scary?
No. No, but it is creepy. It's fun. It's a fun horror movie. I mean, I don't want to say it's like fun.
Yeah.
But it's you enjoy it. It's good writing. It's an enjoyable time. Yeah.
And you've not seen it yet?
No, I want to.
Okay. And I loved Nobody. So I'm really excited.
Tell me it's good.
That came she's making the
Dang
Janelle
it.
Face.
They changed it tonally completely.
Yeah.
Everything that you like about the first one.
Oh, it drives me crazy.
Dang it.
You know how dark and kind of like, it's depressing.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's dark. It's a dark theme, the first one. And it's so good because he does it really well. And in this one, it's just very...
John Wick-y.
It's John Wick-y, but then it's also like, there was a movie critic friend of mine compared it to if you had National Lampoon's Vacation meet John Wick.
Oh, no. So it's silly.
Yes. It's very, can you tell from the trailers?
Yes.
You can kind of tell from the trailers.
Yeah.
It's a little bit, and Sharon Stone's character is so bad.
Oh, I'm really surprised Odenkirk let that happen.
I know.
He just seems like he would get everything.
Yeah. He's always good, you know, and everything. And it's not that he's bad. It's just nobody that I talk to has liked the tonal shift.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that are like, well, it's still fun. There's a lot of it. You're right. There are action parts in it, but it doesn't. They took the formula from one and they just completely went away from it. So, and like I said, Sharon Stone is just so over the top villain. You almost expect her to be like twisting a mustache the way she acts in it. It's just,
that's too bad.
It is.
Because that was the whole thing about Nobody, was the subtlety. And what I loved wasn't that he loved kicking people's asses. He loved having his own ass kicked. Like, he had that weird thing.
Yeah, like he was it was self-flagellation.
Yeah, he liked it.
Yes.
He enjoyed taking a
beating. He hated that part of himself, so it was like, I got to get this out of him. And it was like, in the first one, when he picks the fight with the people on the bus, it's, you can tell he's just wanting it out of his system.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's, he's just very kind of like, oh, I don't want to do this, but then it's just a lot of, like, wacky.
Darn.
Dang it.
Yeah.
I know.
I'll still probably check it out when it's streaming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But with less expectation.
What was the third movie?
Highest to Lowest. It's Spike Lee.
Don't know this one.
Spike Lee. Which is crazy. It's Spike Lee and Denzel Washington. They haven't been together since 2006 with Inside Man. But again, it's a tale of like two movies. The first starts off just, it's just weird. There's some soundtrack or some score choices that are weird. Denzel's wife in this movie is just, she's just not a good actress. And I hate to say that, because it's like, is Denzel so good that he elevates everybody? Like, it really highlights how good or bad you are when you're acting against him.
Mm-hmm.
Because the only person in this movie that could hold their own with him is Jeffrey Wright. Like, go to toe-to-toe with him. Everybody else, it was just like, oh, you are just not Denzel caliber.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, it's a Spike Lee movie. It's love for New York is all over that film, and it's decent enough. Unfortunately, the best movie I saw this past week is not coming out till next week, so I'm not talking about it.
Okay. Yeah.
Can you tell us what it is?
Ne Zha 2. It's Chinese animation.
Oh, okay.
Been waiting for that one.
Yeah. I know. You were texting me about it the other day.
Yeah. You didn't know what I was talking about.
No, I was like, what do you mean? And Dave's like, oh, let me tell you.
Go ahead and mock until you see it.
No mocking. No mocking zone.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
DGS Happy Hour?
Sure.
Who wants to lead off? Okay, I will.
All right.
Did you guys, you know how I was going to do a ride-along, fly-along with the Blue Angels?
Yeah.
Someone was doing that through the Air Force in an F-15, and they were in the back seat, and as they were taxiing to take off, they pulled the ejector. And so, pow! The thing goes blowing off. They go up in the sky. They land next to the plane. Plane still taxiing. They're crawling along the edge. So, idiot.
Why would you do that?
I don't know.
Don't touch anything.
I mean, you have to reach up and grab these yellow things and pull them. So, they clearly didn't just...
Right.
You don't just move a direction and...
Was it like the girl that untied herself on the parasailing?
It could be.
Like somebody just last second freak out, get me out of here?
Could be.
Well, you know, if you're kind of that way, don't accept the ride.
Mm-hmm. Also, it has become a new thing that adults are going away to summer sleepaway camps to make new friends.
Mm.
That's kind of fun.
It's supposed to be working.
Yeah. Oh, I don't see. I mean, we go on vacation sometimes, you meet people, you hang out with them for a little bit, and you go home. Yeah.
I'm surprised you're so open to this idea.
Well, I mean, it's not, I wouldn't seek it out, but it doesn't seem weird. I mean, I do have friends I would go visit.
and camping.
Well, I mean, maybe we would do that. Like, you go like with your friends and you go somewhere and hang out. Like, that. We've done things like that.
Were you a camp-going kid?
Not once, ever.
Yeah, me neither.
I think, I mean, I went to like a, I don't even, like they called it like day camp, you know, in the, like a week in the summer, like that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like a baseball camp,
mm-hmm.
but not actual like go for a couple of months and you're there for the summer or whatever now.
Yeah.
Camp actually sounds awesome as an adult because I did go to camp a bunch as a kid, and the downside was just having to do what the adults said all the time.
Right, so being there and being able to do what you want.
Like, yeah, like if I don't want to do the arts and crafts, which of course I do, but if I don't, I don't have to do it because I'm an adult and nobody can tell me what to do. So this actually sounds kind of awesome. I have a happy hour topic.
Okay.
Have you guys seen these Rush Talk videos on TikTok? It's the sororities rushing to get into the house. And they do like the big dance in front of the sorority house. No. It's very intense. I mean, it looks cool and everything. It's not really my type of thing, but I know the girls are having fun doing it. New York Post did an article about all of the time and money and effort that is poured into rushing for sororities at these big schools. Like, tens of thousands of dollars are spent on getting the right hair, getting the right outfits, fitting into the mold perfectly. But the thing I wanted to talk about was I keep seeing people post these Rush Talk videos to Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I see conservative, Janelle knows what I'm talking about. Like, conservative influencers will be like, why don't the liberals just stop trying at this point? And they'll post the videos of these girls dancing, the implication being that every single one of these young ladies is conservative and like they're taking over the world or something.
I mean, they portray such conservative family values
in
their outfits and such.
That's the interesting thing is this summer it's all been like, this will make all the liberals mad, these videos. But then like either last year or the year before, they were posting it like, look at all these fatherless girls.
Yeah, exactly.
They literally have like switched their message in like a year from like now. It's just because it's like, look at all of these lily white girls doing all these, and you know, like it just makes the liberals mad, and we're taking America back. And it's like, oh, okay, that's crazy. But it's like, didn't you just say that look at all of these fatherless, and I won't use the word that they're using, but they're like, aren't these fatherless women just like last year? Like they were making fun of, like, they were calling them all loose and.
It's very silly and it makes no sense. And just the whole thing where it's like, I just know the libs are seething over this. Like, I know a lot of very liberal people. I have not heard one person comment on this. I don't think anybody cares.
I can tell you, having a daughter, so she missed it this year because we went on vacation, but she's told me all the stories and it still can't grasp the drama and trauma of it.
Yeah.
Like, it's just such a giant deal.
On top of being a college student.
Yeah, freshman. Right. Yeah, you're literally just figuring out where your dorm is.
Yeah.
And before you even know where your classes are, you're parading around and you have all this pressure and making all these decisions and people making decisions about you, and it's crazy.
Yeah. I dodged that bullet.
I want to talk about whales.
Okay.
Because we have every few months there's stories about whales, and you're just like, what? I mean, are you serious? Like, they're basically human. So we've talked about the killer whales and the salmon thing on the nose because it's a style thing. They get into fads. They attack boats because they think it's fun. They think it's a game. We now find out that blue whales will kick the crap out of orcas because the orcas are trying to eat other animals. So if they see them hunting seals or whatever, they come over there and they beat the crap out of the orcas and make them leave, and they will give the other animal a ride out of the area.
That's so cute.
They're like the anti-bullies of the ocean, and I just think that's amazing.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
KMOX, happy Thursday. Janelle's hanging out with us for the hour. Dave Murray joins us now. Hello, Dave.
Hello there.
By the way, if you guys missed the stream, we hope to have it back up tomorrow. We have a million things to do when we switch over from Gas House Gang to DGS, and today wasn't cooperating, so we just went without it. So back to Theater of the Mind. How are we looking, Dave?
Man, I put my tux on, too.
Oh, darn it.
Yeah.
Tux, but no shoes.
That's right. No pants.
Oh, jeez.
Just the top.
It's like, just Winnie the Pooh. Here we go.
All right, moving on.
I'm just watching it happen.
What's the dew point right now?
It's great, actually. It's 69 degrees.
Oh, you can handle
that. Of course it is.
89 over 69.
Nice.
You guys are disgusting.
Walked right into that.
Man, I go down a road and
you put it on a tee. We're gonna hit it, man.
We're not even hitting it.
I shouldn't have asked.
I feel like we're just rubbing our face in it.
You couldn't just make it up at 70.
Yeah, it'd be factual.
Man,
that's the best weather ever.
Yeah. Now I'm all horny. Doesn't help anybody.
Just stay over there.
That's right.
So another 95 degree weekend, Dave?
Yeah, it's coming. You know, again, yesterday, today, summer, but it's pretty easy. It's pretty easy to take for St. Louis anyway, but it starts to come back. I think this evening's fine. The humidity starts to build back tomorrow afternoon. I think we get up in the morning on Friday and you say, hey, you know what? It's still pretty good. But the afternoon gets hot and somewhat humid. I don't think it's really oppressive, but it starts to come back. Southerly flow, lots of sunshine, 95, 75 Friday night, Saturday sunny, hot, and definitely humid, 97, 77 Saturday night, Sunday up to 98. The heat goes through Tuesday. There are some signs of some cooler weather trying to come in on Wednesday, but a little fuzzy of exactly how long that will last.
Okay. Headlines, Rach.
Brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. Sorry to do this story because it's a huge bummer, but power demand is expected to surge in the next 18 months. And this is driven by data centers powering online AI use. So these AI centers use so much electricity, that means everyone's power bills are going to go up in 2026.
Man, mine's already gone up. You guys got their big one yet?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not good.
Not good.
Ooh. Solar panels. Get your solar panels now.
McDonald's Pokemon Happy Meal promotion has come to an unhappy and abrupt end. This was going on in Japan, but we've seen this happen in the U.S. too. Like, people will line up and buy out all the Pokemon cards, and basically kids don't get a chance to get their hands on these cards because the adults have to come in and ruin the fun for all of them. Well, the Japanese McDonald's was selling Pokemon cards with their Happy Meals. Adults were going in, buying the meals and taking the cards and just abandoning the Happy Meal. There you can see photos of like piles of boxes outside of McDonald's. It sparked public outrage because this is a country that's usually known for cleanliness and organization. So McDonald's Japan apologized for the situation, said they don't tolerate food waste or the resale of Happy Meals, and they ended the promotion early.
Wow.
It was a mess. They should have ended it. It's not good. It just stinks that, like, I mean, it's one thing to still enjoy Pokemon as an adult. I certainly do. I know Andrew certainly does. But the people who, like, take away the opportunities from kids to have fun, it's just
Is
not
this
okay.
The adult Happy Meal thing you were talking about?
No.
What's that?
I'm not 100% certain. I think Rachel might have known a little bit more.
Yeah, they're just meals that are adult size, but they're calling them Happy Meals.
Yeah, and they've got like cute boxes or whatever.
Yeah, it's themed after McDonald's Land, which is something they just haven't dipped into in quite a long time.
Yeah, when you were a kid in the 90s, McDonald's Land was big, you know.
Okay.
At least if you were me and ate a lot of McDonald's, which you still do.
Well, speaking of toys, maybe these aren't a toy. I apologize if I've offended anyone, but Funko Pops are getting more expensive because of tariffs. They say trade policies under the Trump administration have caused them to raise prices.
from what, like, to what? Because that was always, like, the saving grace of those ugly little bastards is that they were only, like, $10.
I don't know the current price. I apologize. I don't have that in the story here. I just know they're going up, and they're reporting a decline in sales for the second quarter because of the price adjustments. Speaking of prices, beef prices have soared to an all-time high. There's a 2.5% increase in beef prices. Uncooked beef steaks have risen by 11.5%. Ground beef, 12.4%. There's shrinking cattle herds, and a reliance on imports have contributed to the price surge. They're saying it could take years for prices to stabilize.
Huh. Pretty important.
Kodak says it might have to cease operations. This is a company that's been around for 133 years, but they're facing financial uncertainty and warning investors that they might not be able to survive due to lack of financing. They actually filed for bankruptcy in 2012, and they're struggling to pay off their current debts.
What do they do now?
That is a great question.
I think they still have very good film products, but
yes.
The camera, you know, the use of a camera is just not there.
Yeah, the film part of it is got to be way down, right? Because everything's digital.
So Howard Stern seems to be leaning into the rumors that he's out at SiriusXM. So there's lots of rumors swirling around. Some people are speculating that Sirius even planted this rumor to just kind of gauge where people are at. But Howard Stern himself is embracing the uncertainty. He says, now we can reveal all the questions will be answered, all the truths will be told by the one man truly on the inside. Howard Stern will speak Tuesday, November 2nd.
Am I the only one that's just bored to death by him? Just bored.
Isn't he moving? Isn't he probably just going to do a podcast?
Yeah, and he'll make tons of money doing it. He'll be probably Rogan light, but it'll be like that because his people are going to stay.
So old. I was just going to say it's been the same shtick for 30 plus years, and it's not really entertaining anymore. Kevin disagrees.
No, I don't listen to Stern. I never was a fan. I did not like the '90s version of him. I thought that was all just childish and nonsense. But mostly it's interviews now. It's not as much about like the old stuff, like where they would have, you know, porn stars in the studio. It's like, I don't think they do that stuff still, do they?
They do a fair amount of that.
Do they?
But he's really gotten into interviews, yes.
Yeah, and I enjoy the interviews.
Yeah, he's fine. I mean, he has his biases, so if you don't mind that, then you can like it. And if you do mind it, you probably aren't listening to him. But, like, the whole thing with him and SiriusXM started because at the beginning of satellite radio, they were trying to find a hook to make people subscribe. And they're like, well, this guy's got a huge audience. Heck, if his people alone subscribe, we're good to go. And that's what they did, and it worked. But I'm not sure that it matters that much for them anymore.
There's actually a video going viral right now, like kind of throwing back to the 90s, I guess. The Stern Show, I guess they had like a butterface competition. We've all heard that.
They did a lot of really neat stuff that now would get you fired.
Well, and that's what everyone's saying is like, man, things used to be different. Like maybe we really did need all that feminism stuff in the 2000s because this is brutal. And it is a very sad video.
I mean, remember the Man Show?
Oh, my God. Yeah. That was Kimmel and Carolla. Yeah.
And Carolla?
Yeah. Yeah, that gets you fired now.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about
that. There were times I would watch that because he's usually on late at night, right?
Dave's just confessing stuff.
But it was, no, I would watch it.
It was on at 10:30 p.m., right? But the first commercial break would hit at 10:02, so if you tuned in at 10:05, you'd get most of it still.
Oh, okay. I was amazed of stuff they were doing.
I know. They were getting away with a lot. I mean, at the time, everybody got away with a lot, though, as Stern proves.
All right, let's move on. Americans are drinking at record low rates. The percentage of Americans who say they drink has fallen to 54%. That's a record low since Gallup started tracking the statistic nearly 90 years ago. It's down from 58% last year and well below the 62% who reported drinking in 2023.
It's so stupid. Like, I have done it a ton in my life, and I've had a great time at different times drinking. I get it. I have a 20-year-old daughter in college. I get it. But you get to a certain age and you just go, this is really stupid. I'm just drinking something, swallowing it down my esophagus that changes the way my brain works for the worse.
Well, binge drinking is really stupid.
Yeah.
Aren't they saying that the younger generation isn't drinking a lot, and it has to do with expense? It's just it's just too expensive to drink.
Yeah. I was going
to
ask if it's that or a combination of that and
health
gummies and legalized stuff once you're over 21.
Big change.
Yeah, the story also cited just the overall common knowledge nowadays that drinking is not good for your health. Yeah. That's something that wasn't really like pushed as much when I was a teenager. It was just like, don't drink because it's immoral and bad. Yeah. That was more the message rather than like, it's actually not great for your body.
Right.
And, you know, they're attributing that to a reason a lot of people have stopped drinking. One more story for you guys. There was a halftime show announced for YouTube's first exclusive NFL broadcast, which will take place in Brazil on September 5th. It's a NFL week one matchup between the LA Chargers and the Kansas City Chiefs. And the halftime performer is a young lady named Carol G. She is Colombian, I believe. I've never heard any of her songs, but apparently she's like a huge deal internationally. So
what's special about this?
It's YouTube's first ever exclusive NFL broadcast.
Yeah.
I think there's some lawsuits out from Charger fans and Chiefs fans because they bought season tickets. And it's like, wait a minute.
Oh, you mean, unfortunately, the NFL, I'm sure, has that covered because they've been doing these international games forever. Yeah. So I'm sure that they, somewhere in the agreement, there's a thing like, hey, one of these games might be moved, part of the deal. I don't think they had to buy the tickets for that one, though. I don't think they're charging you for that. Maybe they are, and that might be where they could be in some trouble, but.
Right, yeah.
They do this overseas things now. The NFL, they're sneaky, man. They got lawyers. We found that out here, didn't we?
Mm. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
You got it.
Back to DGS on Cable X 352. Janelle hanging out with us. So I just came back from vacation where we flew, and I have some observations. So this was Southwest. I understand Southwest is going to go to a assigned seat system, which they need to do because the system now is terrible. And I think it's mostly because of pre-boarding. What pre-boarding is.
Yeah.
There used to be like three or four people that were pretty severely screwed up who got to get on the plane first. Now, if you've got a crappy 13-year-old fat kid, you get to get on before anybody else.
I forgot my shoes. I got to pre-board.
There were like 50 people pre-boarding.
Yeah.
Did some of them have early bird check-in? Because that's something you can pay.
I know. That's the other thing, paying for access.
No, because they went at a different time.
Okay. Right. That's the first group.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. That I'm fine with.
Yeah.
That I usually do. I'll usually upgrade.
Boarding. Boarding. Yeah.
This is why you just do seats. This is like the best innovation at the movies in the last 5 years is that you get assigned seats. You don't have to like get there early enough to get a good seat.
Yeah.
Your seat's there. Like, I appreciate what they were trying to do, but then when you do all this and then you take away, 25-30% of the seats in pre-boarding, well, then why did I have to get in group A? Now I'm not barely getting any benefit from doing anything on
also,
time.
Also, I really appreciate airline pilots, but they need to be more encouraging for people like me.
Hey, how are they not?
For example, when we got on the plane, they said, when we were going to land. In St. Louis, they said, the weather's clear, but we have winds gusting up to 40 miles an hour.
Okay.
Period. Should have been comma, which is not a problem.
Sure.
We're fine. Okay. We're great at this.
Okay.
Brag a little.
Okay.
Make me feel good.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, so you mean like, and this will be no sweat to get through this.
Yes. Be Would a you... captain. Brag a little bit.
And I have... And I make 40 wins like nothing. I'll slice it through like butter. Watch
exactly.
This. You want them to be cocky.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I do. And when is the proper time to stand up when you hit the gate?
I wait till everybody's off the, like, everybody that jumps up and is running down the aisle, I just let them have that moment. I can wait. There's nothing. I have severely underplanned if I have to do that. There's nothing, unless you're having to rush to meet.
You got a connecting flight. Yep.
I get the connecting flight.
But they should set that up, though, if they know that they've got flights that are they're running late. They should be able to, all right, everybody with a connecting flight.
That should be special boarding.
Yeah.
Those should be the special boarding. But you apparently are in a much bigger rush than I am. Have at it.
What if you stand and stay in your space?
No, I just, why stand?
Because my legs are tired of sitting there.
No, my legs are tired of sitting.
I mean, I see a lot of tall people are like, I'm 6'4", I need to stand. That's not me, by the way.
I was gonna say.
Hey, Rach, should I do this one?
Yes, please.